Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, good morning. Oh, what a gorgeous day. Another one of those. I'm Lynette. Hi there. Good morning. Along with Dr. Samira Umat. And guess who's back from spring breakin'?
It's me.
Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio. Yay.
And I will admit, I was surprised when you were back by Monday this week because I came in on Tuesday and I heard you were back. My patients were watching you walking around upstairs somewhere. And I go, I thought he was saying, he would be back midweek.
Yeah, well, some meetings I was going to do in D.C. on Monday and Tuesday and come back Wednesday. Yeah. But, I had been gone for too darn long, and I had too many things I had to do, so I put those meetings off.
Okay, good. We're happy to have you back.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're glad you're back. Let me go ahead and get the phone number out there for folks that have been waiting for you to come back, Dr. Mixon. Last week, we had a lot of eye questions. We had Dr. Michael Gilbert here. And
he's the right guy for eye questions.
It was perfect. And Dr. Dan Nelson before that with questions on joint pain and stem cells. So, Dr. Jerry Mixon is back today along with Dr. Umat. And if you'd like to get your questions in at the beginning of the show, that's a good thing. I'm going to give that phone number right now. 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. Okay, Dr. Mixon, you've been gone for two Saturdays. We want to know what your adventure and what you did and or what you learned too. I know you had some work involved with this as well.
Yeah, well, the first week I was off on family activities.
Family stuff.
Yeah, my daughter was on her spring break.
Yay.
And we were working up to her 12th birthday, which was on Friday.
Oh. Happy birthday to Irene.
That's right. She is almost a tween.
She's a tweener.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we flew into Charleston, South Carolina, and spent the week exploring Charleston. And, you know, it was so lovely. My daughter wants to move to Charleston.
The
beautiful old homes were built in the 1700s and the very early 1800s, and they've been beautifully maintained and are just gorgeous things. Mm-hmm. But what impressed the entire family was how warm and friendly people were compared to the Seattle area.
Sure,
that's true. You know, Southern hospitality.
They refer to this as the Seattle chill.
Yeah,
for a reason.
Yes.
The folks tend to be relatively standoffish here, and down in the deep South and southern edge of South Carolina to almost the Georgia border, you have a very, very different cultural milieu.
Absolutely.
And, people are just so warm and welcoming. And
honey
child.
That's right. Darling.
I love it when a waitress refers to me as honey child.
Honey child.
Yes, darling. What can I do for you, honey?
Can I get you some sweet tea?
That's right. I find it charming. I really do. But when you're an old dude like me, you love being called honey child. I'll take any kind of child you want to call me, except maybe second childhood.
Yeah.
And then Thursday night, I flew the family home from Charleston, and I went on down to Miami and spent Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Trump Doral. They had the AMMG meeting, the Age Management Group meeting.
Okay.
And It was interesting. It, as always at those meetings, there's an eclectic mix of cutting-edge science and stupidity.
Ooh, do tell.
Well, he's right. He's really right. Yes.
You know, I mean, people get... Doctors are humans, and human beings fixate on their pet ideas and their pet themes. For instance, there was one fellow there, a Dr. Savage. He's in New York on Manhattan. He does a serum exchange program. He'll bring you in for one day each month for 5 months. And for the piddly cost of $35,000,
wow,
we'll let you spend 3 hours each trip on his basically it's a analog of the kidney dialysis machines, and he takes out your serum, puts your red and white cells back in your body with your 5% albumin solution, but he's taking out and discarding your serum.
Ooh.
And you know, he's pointing out that there are right now in our environment somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 to 2,000 chemicals that we don't really know what they do to people long term. But we do know that they tend to build up in the human body, and they are in our serum and in our tissues. And the more traditional methods of, quote, detoxification don't touch these things. I mean, basically, people say, well, I'm going to do a liver tox on you. Well, it makes you poop a lot, you know. And and by, you know, cleaning out your bowel, the idea is you're going to take some of the stuff out of your liver, et cetera. But when you objectively measure the tissue levels of all these toxins, they don't get touched. You know, you can do chelation to get rid of the heavy metals, but that's got some significant risks. And so by doing five of these, he has actually measured that you can reduce your tissue levels of dozens and dozens of these otherwise very intractable toxins to close to zero.
Mm. Whoa.
And his idea is this is something you need to do in midlife one time. You know, like I'm 76, I've been accumulating these pesticides, toxins, organo compounds for 76 years. My levels are probably reasonably high. I've frankly never spent the $18,000 to have them measured.
Yeah.
And, but he does that. And so, you know, if I were to fly to New York one day a month for 5 months, he could get my levels down to zip.
Wow.
Now, his theory is, and this is where things start to fall down, is that the reason we have chronic diseases and cancers and stuff and we are dying is because these toxins are building up in our system and we can't get rid of them. He's now found the way to get rid of them all. And indeed, he does get rid of them. And they stay down long term because you now have to start reaccumulating. You actually clean them out of your body. But Dr. Mixon's smell test always comes into play.
Uh-huh. That's a new test now.
Yes.
Well, I like it better than the laugh test because I try never to laugh at my colleagues.
Yes. But, at least out, you know, out.
At least not in front of them, Jerry.
Yeah. Yes, the outside laugh.
But, yeah, so I keep a straight face. But the fact is, he thinks this is why we are aging and that he can stop aging by getting rid of our toxins. But I point out that for hundreds, in fact, thousands of years, human beings have gotten old and died. And they have gotten old and gone downhill, slow, fat, weak, dumb, sexless, and dead for all of time.
Yeah, even before we had the toxins.
Yes, and it did not start when we got toxins in our environment.
Right.
It started when the first human beings started walking upright. And probably before that. The fact is that, yes, he's removing the toxins, but what he has not demonstrated to me is that this actually has a long-term impact on our health. Now, if he was to do this to, you know, 500 45 or 50-year-olds and follow them for the next 20 years and demonstrate that their instance of developing cancers and dementia and heart disease, etc., was significantly lower than the people who did not receive the therapy, then I say, okay, now you've got some evidence. Okay, now I'll stop sniggering and say, all right, maybe, you know, you got something. So here, hook me up to your machine and get rid of the damn toxins. But until somebody provides evidence, because in this, it's a pure theory and it's based on what he claims is causing our aging, but we aged long before there were toxins.
I know.
And so, you know, I'm not going to fly to New York and have somebody take out my blood and circulate it around and put it back in with albumin unless he'll run a study that shows me that it's beneficial. That's all.
Wow.
And even then, $35,000 is overpriced.
Yeah, that's a lot. Now, has Dr. Savage done it himself? Do you think, or just on animals? And
No, it's on people.
On people,
He's got a lot of people that are apparently flying to New York to be detoxified, and you know, and maybe it helps, and maybe it doesn't, but it's not the cause of aging.
Yeah.
Now, it may be the cause of increased dementia. It may be the cause of some cancers. It may be the cause of any number of things, but he has not yet demonstrated that.
Okay.
And so.
All right.
So that's
just one of the things that you encountered.
Yeah. You know, I spent three days there from 7:30 in the morning till 5:30 every evening listening to these lectures and, you know, evaluating what I thought was good and bad. There was some very good stuff there. And this one has the potential to have some benefit, but it just isn't proven as yet.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm not going to do it on my patients and
until
somebody has some proof that it does some good.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anyway, but there were, excuse me, a little bit hoarse. I better drink some tea this morning.
Yes.
There were other that I thought were far better grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came away with some interesting ideas that I want to share with the docs. But
yeah.
Ooh.
You know,
just not that one.
Okay, yeah, not that one.
Anyway.
All right. Okay. Any other, how about some crazy that you just like, you stood there and you're like, what are they thinking? Any of those types of ideas or things that popped into your, or were most of them good theories?
Most of them were good theories.
Okay.
And in fact, I'd say the majority had at least reasonable evidence to support them. There were just a few that I looked at and said, maybe, but I don't see the evidence as yet. The ones that actually made me stare with disbelief were some of the things on, you know, the legalities, what the legal profession and the and the legislators are doing to us to keep doctors from innovating and to restrict the therapies that patients can get to those developed by the multi-billion-dollar corporations who can enrich themselves in the process. Some of those things just irritate the hell out of me.
Okay.
But I can't do much about that. You know, Pfizer can afford a lot more politicians than I can. You know?
That is true,
yes.
Dr. Mixon.
You know, if you've got people in D.C. that you're paying, you know, $100 million a year to influence the thinking of the politicians, you're a whole lot better off than old Dr. Mixon. Anyway, that's... Is anybody going to call us today?
Yes, oh, we've already got some folks in there.
Yeah, I'm sure there are people waiting. And last week, too, we had good calls. And then Dr. Pentland has been working on the IV therapy programs. And we are now ready to offer IV NAD.
Good.
So we have been doing the Myers cocktail. And it's been really going very well. And I'm quite happy with the outcomes on the patients. I always look for, you know, you start something and then you want to see other patients really benefiting or not. And the feedback has been really very good. So very happy about that. Mm-hmm. And so the NAD treatments are now available. So if anybody's interested, they can certainly.
And the glutathione is coming along in a month or two?
Well, yeah, we'll start the NAD first and then add the glutathione just as, you know, we're getting going with this. So we're expanding the scope of what we offer with our IV therapies.
Okay, very good. We should talk about that and what those things actually do for us, what you were explaining. And we have a heart health event happening early next month at all three of our clinics. We're going to talk about that in just a few moments. I already have some callers on the line. Let me give that phone number to you. 1-800-465-8770 is that number. You can call and get through with your questions. And I love that Lynn has a question about, and let's see if I can say this, dehydroepiandrosterone.
DHEA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to get to that? I just like saying that word. And good job. Our producer spelled it just right on. All right. We're going to take a quick break. You can get through with your questions for Dr. Mixon and Dr. UMAT by giving us a call at 1-800-465-8770 in just a moment. Stay right there.
Race is on, and here comes pride in the backstretch. Heartache going to the inside. My tears are holding back there, but I'm trying not to fall.
My
heart's out of the running.
At least one.
And the winner.
There we go. Dr. Mixon's mixtape.
I've always said that is the most cheerful, upbeat song about heartbreak I've ever heard.
We did think about you when the music
was
playing.
Yes, we did.
Like, Dr. Mixon would be doing this right now.
He would be dancing on this one. That's
right.
Good.
You got it.
You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, and we are here with you every Saturday morning live in the studio. Here is the number to call with your questions about your health, maybe a recent diagnosis, maybe something you don't quite understand about the aging process. Dr. UMAT is here. And Dr. Mixon to answer your questions. We're going to head to Houston, Texas now. Carl is on the line. Good morning, Carl.
Morning, Carl.
Good morning. A couple of years ago, a neurologist, that's with an N, recommended a couple of 2,000 international units or milligrams, I can't remember which, of vitamin E to help ward off dementia. And just a couple of months ago, I heard there's an association between too much vitamin E and hemorrhagic stroke and bladder cancer. And I just thought.
And lung cancer, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
What kind of cancer?
Lung cancer in smokers.
Oh, okay. Mm. So I'm wondering, what do you think about that? I've cut it in half because I'm down to 1,000. So I just want to hear any reflections you have about vitamin E.
Okay, well, first of all, it depends on which forms of vitamin E you're talking about. There are 8 forms of vitamin E. Alpha, beta, delta, and gamma tocopherols, and alpha, beta, delta, and gamma tocotrienols. And 99% of the vitamin E that is sold in the stores is alpha tocopherol, and the other 7 are totally missing. So that's the first problem. If you are getting a good mix of all of the forms of vitamin E, then you've got a significant net benefit. But the studies that are showing increased risk of things like lung cancer in smokers and hemorrhagic strokes are when you're using only the alpha tocopherol. Because when you look at the studies and you say which form of vitamin E they do, it's always alpha tocopherol. And the other 7 are simply not there. Natural vitamin E from your foods has all 8.
Hmm.
The supplement has only 1 of the 8. Okay. Except ours. When I made vitamin E for our patients, you'll notice that it says mixed tocopherols and mixed tocotrienols. So it's a mixed vitamin E. So we put all 8 of the vitamin E's in the form that I made for my patients, because the gamma, I think it's both the delta and the gamma tocotrienols actually lower your lipid levels, lower your cholesterol, and decrease atherosclerotic formation in your blood vessels, which would include in the vessels of your brain, which would help decrease your risk of strokes. So whenever anybody asks about vitamin E, my first question is, what forms are in the study? Okay. And 99% of the time, it's going to be just alpha tocopherol without the other 7. So,
we're getting it from your lab or your vendor or...
Yeah, if it's from us, it's made by Priority One, and it is the mixed of all 8. We're one of the few companies in the United States that do all 8 in ours.
All right, so I'll stop worrying about that.
Right.
This is, if you've got time, there's been a new regulation about so-called forever chemicals
yes.
in our drinking water. Do you mm-hmm. think there's validity to being worried about that?
Yes, no, and who the hell knows? there are a lot of chemicals in our drinking water today. And in isolation, many of them are indeed toxins and are carcinogens, can cause cancers. The question is, how much? And one of the reasons that I do at my drinking water at home is distilled water, is I want to not have all the extraneous stuff in the water that I'm drinking. I don't mind flushing the toilet with tap water. I don't mind washing my car and watering the garden. I'll even shower and bathe in it. But if I'm drinking it and cooking with it, I would prefer to have removed all of the arsenic, cadmium, mm-hmm. and other compounds that are common in the drinking water around here. There's a public health trade-off that we are unavoidably facing. For most of human history, waterborne disease killed enormous numbers of human beings. It would kill off 20-30% of the human population about every 20 years. And so we went a generation ago to chlorinating our water, filtering the water through sand in our water treatment plants, and then chlorinating it. And that's because the water is a solvent. It dissolves almost everything it touches. It's a polar molecule. So if you're getting water out of the ground, it's basically absorbing every mineral that is in the ground is coming into the water.
Mm.
And in some areas of the country, like Seattle area, the Pacific Northwest, fairly high arsenic levels.
Oh, okay.
And so anything that percolates into the ground, and especially if you're near industrial sites and you're getting groundwater, all those industrial chemicals that get dumped into the landfill and stuff percolate on down into the water table, and it's showing up in the water. If you're getting water from reservoirs, like we tend to do here, that rain and snow that falls on the mountains, it melts and it runs down the mountainside, and it picks up dead animals, birds, poop, anything and everything else, and it flows down into the streams, and the streams go into the reservoir. And so we filter out the larger particles, and then we add chlorine. Well, the chlorine comes in and rips apart all of those pestilence-causing issues, the bacteria, the viruses, the single-cell organisms, the amoebas and stuff. They are killed and physically ripped to molecular shreds by the chlorine. And that's kind of nice because now they can't infect you. But in the process of tearing apart those proteins, organic compounds that are, in fact, carcinogens are produced. Mm. They are called chlorination disinfection byproducts. And they are present in every commercial water system in the country. They are more present in places that get their water out of reservoirs because we're getting all the dead bodies and poops of all the animals that, you know, we're sweeping into those reservoirs. And those do cause a certain number of cancers in the people that drink the chlorinated water. But the health departments have a decision to make. Are you going to cause a dozen or so cancers in the entire city of Seattle and its catchment basin each year? Or are you going to take a risk in 3 million people dying of a waterborne disease?
Yeah.
Well, if your choice is half a dozen on one hand and potential for a million or two on the other hand, you go ahead and let a few folks get cancer rather than a whole lot of folks die of waterborne disease.
Or getting sick.
Yeah. So it's a perfectly rational and an appropriate decision that was made by the public health authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And I approve of it. But for myself, I don't want to be drinking those chlorination sterilization byproducts. So you can filter your water or you can distill your water. I've chose distillation.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yep, sure does. Makes sense. Have a good week, you guys.
All right.
Oh, Carl, thank you so much for that call. Wow, lots of good information and also an explanation, too, of why they do what they have to do in order to make the water as safe as they can.
It would be the grossest malpractice if they didn't do it.
Right.
Yes.
Everything done to and by human beings has trade-offs.
Right. You know, again, we've talked about this before, Jerry. It's like when you choose a medication for any reason, the medication, as you've said many times, is not to avoid all problems for you. It is to help you with one issue, but it may cause some other issues. And your decision is this the right one for me or not?
Yes. And the decision that the doctor makes is, since we know every decision we make has pluses and minuses, our job as a physician is to give you as many benefits as possible, balanced against as few negatives as practical.
Right.
But there will always be negatives.
Yeah.
All right. Great question there, Carl. And we welcome your questions, too. Here is the number for Leading Edge Medicine. Our radio show is live, 1-800-465-8770. We have another caller on the line. Hi there, Lynn, and good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I did not. I said DHEA to the call screener, so I'm pretty impressed with him, too.
Yes, yeah, he knew what that was.
Yeah, I just have a question of, is it better to apply DHEA like other hormones or to ingest it?
Ingest it. And the reason is it does not cross the skin very well.
Mm, okay.
So you can do compounded creams, but the blood levels you will get, unless you just slather an enormous amount of it on your thinnest skin, you're going to get very modest levels. Mm-hmm. Now, one exception is women that apply it vaginally, who get it inside the vagina. The mucous membrane in the vagina is very thin, very rich blood supply, and it absorbs these chemicals much more efficiently than your skin does. So you can get much higher levels with intravaginal application, but that's just inconvenient for most women. It's easier to take a pill than put an applicator up in your vagina and squirt in a cream every day.
And traditionally, the DHEA pills are nice and small, and they're not difficult to swallow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they do work, but the serum levels get very high because we watch the labs all the time. I can tell when a patient forgot to take it or didn't take it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the labs are very obvious.
Yeah.
So... Does that answer your question?
All right. Well, thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much for your help. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Matt.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
For those that may not know, Jerry, shall we just kind of talk about the benefits of DHEA maybe when we come back after the break?
Okay. Yeah.
Because there's many reasons why people should take it.
Oh, yes.
Yes. This is one of those hormones, right?
Prohormone.
It's a prohormone.
A prohormone.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a steroid produced by your adrenal glands that your body then converts into other hormones.
All right. We're going to find out about that. We're also going to talk about stem cells when we come back and RSV injections. How about that? To kick off our show today, here's that number to get through with your question, 800-465-8770. Leading Edge Medicine returns in just a moment. There we go. Working 9 to 5. It's not even 9, and we've all been up. We're ready to go.
I've been up since 5, in fact.
That's right.
Actually, you probably have some jet lag, too. So you're probably waking up earlier than you normally do.
I'm back on my normal schedule.
Okay.
Yeah, the first day back, I was up and perking at 2:30 in the morning.
Woo, ready to go. And everyone else is, turn the light off.
And then about 3 in the afternoon.
You crashed.
Oh.
I staggered over. I have a nice couch in my office. I staggered over and I put the pillow and I crashed for about 45 minutes.
Now, he shut the door and on the door it says, do not disturb.
That's right. Do not disturb the doctor. The doctor is not in.
Yeah. For those of you that have not made it down to my corporate office, which is most of you, I have a sign on my door, and it's got two sides. And one side says, I'm available. Knock and then come in.
Ah, okay.
And that's if I'm doing paperwork and I'm reading journal articles, et cetera. And if I'm doing videos or taking a mid-afternoon nap because I got in at midnight or 1 in the morning, you know, that one says, video in progress. Keep out.
There we go. Yes.
Okay. I have to tell the audience this, Jerry. Your door is always open. And that to me is just a nice invitation. He's here. It's actually comforting to me.
It's welcoming.
Now I'm telling secrets. Okay. It's always been comforting. Okay. Yeah. He's here. His light is on. He's sitting. The door is open. But when the door is shut, it's actually a little intimidating. I don't even walk in the hallway when your door is shut. And then when I realized he has the sign that says, come in and don't come in, you go, okay, I do need to go all the way in there to see, can I go in or not?
Well, and that used to be the problem, is if my door was shut.
Yeah.
If the door is open, I hear everybody in the hallway.
Oh, yes.
And that distracts me because I'm trying to focus. I spend 5 or 6 hours a day reading medical journal articles. And quite frankly, some of them are dry as hell.
You know?
Intellectually, these are the Sahara Desert in July.
Wow.
And so
we're thankful that you will read them for us.
And that's right. I read the first 2 sentences and go get a cup of coffee.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I can't afford distractions because I need to understand what it is as they're saying.
Yes.
So I came up with this final solution, which was I have a door, and the door is closed, but the sign says, I'm available, knock, and then come in. But then I only get distracted if someone really needs to talk to me.
Yeah.
And I'm always available to talk to the staff if they need me.
Right.
So that's,
there you go.
You know.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Anyway, that's where we are.
Okay.
All right.
We were
going to
DHEA, and then we'll take a call. Yeah. DHEA. And why is that important for us?
I'm surprised you knew about it, right? Not many people even know what DHEA is.
Yeah. So. Dehydroepiandrosterone is a adrenal steroid. It's a chemical made by your adrenal glands. And your body uses it to make a lot of other hormones. It can be made into estrogens, testosterone, dihydrotestosterone, estrones. It is in the metabolic pathway. Really, the whole pathway is you start with cholesterol. Cholesterol gets broken down to pregnenolone. Pregnenolone can become progesterone or DHEA. And then the DHEA makes all of the other sex-related steroids, including cortisol.
Mm.
So the DHEA is kind of a substrate for hormone production. And it has some direct hormone effects itself. Women, for instance, who have robust DHEA levels have less osteoporosis. It does stimulate the production of new bone. Not as well as testosterone does, but better than going without it.
Right. And, you know, I also like it. It's a healing and repair pro-hormone, so it does help support the immune system, too. You know, when COVID hit in 2020, I kept all of our patients, and I reminded them to stay on their DHEA because that helped their support their immune system.
It does.
And it was really a long time before any of our patients got COVID. And we all developed our own cocktails, but our cocktails included vitamin D, zinc, and many other things. But DHEA was part of that package that I would encourage them to use.
Yeah, it was. And interestingly, all of the hormones in the testosterone pathway actually improve the immune system. They decrease inflammation and they increase the number of anti-infection chemotactic agents of various sorts. And they actually help to rescue senescent stem cells so that your stem cells are more robust and better able to repair and produce new tissue.
Right. But you, there's no one dose for anybody. Everybody is on very different doses.
Yes.
In all these years, I'm surprised, and I never really know any rhyme or reason why. But men obviously need more than women, and
yes,
sometimes they need less than I thought they would need, and sometimes I just need to give a lot more, even to my women.
Yeah.
But we measure. That's how we know what to give, and then we protect them from side effects of oily skin and acne. So if you have cystic acne, you'd have one to be really careful.
You want to be cautious with it. Because it does increase the oil production in your skin.
Yeah.
And that's a, like everything else in biology, that's a mixed blessing curse. You all know that when you were teenagers, you stunk. You really needed your deodorant, because if you had a sweaty day and you were 17 years old, everybody within 50 feet could smell you coming. You know? And then as you get older, as your hormone levels are dropping, your skin starts drying out, and those oil and sebaceous and those, I call them the odoriferous glands, become less and less active. And you don't need deodorant as much in your 40s and 50s as you did in your teens. But then as that process continues, by the time you're elderly, by the time you're in your 70s and 80s, you get that musty old person stink. You know, you've all been in a house where your great-grandma lives, and it has a distinct old person smell to it. And that's because our skin is no longer producing the youthful oils and glands, and it's not producing them because our hormone levels are too low. And so, you know, it's when we raise these, we can get your skin making the products that it made in your youth. But one of the downsides of that is, if you had a lot of acne as a teenager, we can trigger that again, too. And so that's why I never, ever, ever allow anybody, male or female, to put testosterone on their face, because they will trigger acneiform eruptions. Okay. So, you know, I think men and women need robust testosterone levels, but depends on where you're going to put it.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, doctors. Talking more about that, we are going to head to Port Orchard right now. Barb is on the line, and she's got a question. Good morning, Barb.
Hello, Barb.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, doctors. Good morning. Oh, can you hear me now?
We hear you now.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm 70. My husband's 70s, too. And we've been told we need the RSV vaccine, but I've read something contrary to that. What are your feelings on RSV vaccine?
Well, RSV is a virus that most of us in our generation, because you're a few years younger than me, we all caught it when we were little kids. And so we made antibodies to it. So traditionally, RSV, it's called respiratory syncytial virus, is what RSV stands for. Respiratory syncytial virus is a virus that is very, very contagious. It is in every nursery school, every kindergarten, every preschool on the planet. Yeah. And so every little kid that plays with other little kids is going to get it.
Yeah.
And so, and generally, it's not a terribly serious infection for the vast majority of kids. But as in all viruses, some kids are just hit harder by it than others. And had never been something that we worried about until we started living so long. And our immune systems, as we're getting older, are declining. We are less and less robust at fighting infections. And so by the time you're in your 70s, that youthful immunity to RSV is starting to fade. And so if you're around your grandkids or your great-grandkids, or you're going to the schools, you know, as a volunteer or a substitute, then you're going to be exposed to RSV pretty frequently. And your immune system is declining. And what we're finding now is that older people are starting to get RSV again. They got it in their youth, and now they're getting it again just because their immune system has lost the capacity to fight it over the decades. And when an old person gets RSV, because we have a lot less systemic immunity, we are at higher risk of being injured by it.
Yeah.
So there has been a push in the last couple of years to start re-inoculating older people.
Right. You know, as we get older, we are more frail. And so the comorbidities also rise. So if you have underlying health-related issues, then you are at higher risk that this virus will not go away easily. It'll cause persistent symptoms. Maybe then it'll cause a pneumonia, and then it'll cause more respiratory difficulties, and then it'll cause you to just become bedridden, and then may you know, impact on not make, just your life, but also your quality of life.
Make you die.
Yeah, we don't want that.
And so, I'm doing everything I can to boost my own immune response. I have not yet gone and gotten an RSV injection. I suppose maybe I should, just based on general principles, but haven't yet.
But typically fall is worse. Fall and winter months are more...
Same time that, with the flu.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe right now is not the time?
Yeah, flu.
But it depends on their individual condition, right?
Sure.
If they are frail and they're maybe planning on getting together with the family over the summer or traveling, they may want to be more cautious.
Or if you're diabetic, if you've had cancer chemotherapy, if you have cardiac heart diseases, kidney failure... So any of these things that knock down your health and make you more susceptible, you probably should get your injections.
Okay, for RSV?
Well, that is exactly what's happening to me, because I take care of my three-year-old. He gets a cold, I get it immediately.
Oh, you get it right. Yes.
Right to my throat, and I have it for about 2 months.
Yes, that's the way. So, yes, in your case, go get your vaccine.
Right.
You know, I've got a child at home who's in the sixth grade, and she brings us all the circulating bugs.
Oh, yeah. Sadly, that's true. They're petri dishes.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, Barb, thank you for your question.
Would you have time for one more quick question?
Oh, you bet.
Hang on for this commercial, and we'll be right back.
Okay? Yeah. Barb, stay right there, and Warren will be with you, too. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back. We're live, and we are Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon, back from his spring break with his family, and Dr. Samira Umat in the studio this week. We're going to give you a break next week, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay, and then I'm going to break in between both
of
you.
That's right.
During the break, we were just talking. I just got a text from my wife.
Yeah.
You know, and she said, "How come I'm not losing weight? I still weigh 52 kilograms, which is...
What? About 110 pounds or so.
Yeah, 108, 110 pounds. Yeah. But she said, but my waist is down to 24 inches. And...
okay, what is going to come off of her? She is all muscle.
All muscle, yes.
And that's why I wrote back.
Fat.
I said, muscle is heavy.
Yeah.
You know, you have less fat, so you're skinny.
Yeah.
But you're fit, so you're not light.
That's right.
And of course, for her... 110 pounds is heavy.
Yeah. Not realizing that it's all solid muscle.
Yeah, I have a thigh that weighs what her, her body weighs.
Yeah, yeah. We should do her in-body and show her muscle.
Yes.
That's
no
right.
fat. High muscle, no fat.
There we go. Oh, all
you
right.
know, I am thinning down my waistline right now.
Yeah.
I have always had a fairly good waistline.
Uh-huh.
But I want to make a video for my 77th birthday.
Okay.
Oh.
And I have been told I need to do it shirtless.
Oh, okay.
There,
there you go.
Yeah, so I'm getting it so that my rectus muscles show.
Okay, you're showing your six-pack, huh?
That's right.
Okay.
I'm getting my six-pack. I've had a two to four-pack.
Are you challenging some of the listeners, by the way?
That's right, yes.
There you go.
So we're going to do a marketing video of a 77-year-old man running, jumping, doing, you know, chin-ups, push-ups and stuff, and showing off my muscular physique.
There you go. All right. It can be done. You can do it. And you just got to work as hard as Dr. Mixon has done. Yeah. Okay, Barb, thank you for holding there. You had another question for the doctors?
Yes. My husband and I, mostly during the week, that's where I've been getting
on.
Okay, we lost her.
We lost you for a minute. You said my husband and I, and then silence for the week.
Oh, okay. We take care of our...
We take care of our, and you went dead again.
Yeah, we're losing the connection periodically.
No. Yeah. Okay, so I'm guessing you're taking care of your three-year-old grandson or grandchild?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Is it working now? Okay.
It's working for
anyway,
the moment.
Yes. And we're a little concerned. He doesn't, both his parents and us do not give him juices, but he loves flavored seltzer water.
Yeah.
And I think you talked about that once before. Is that not a good thing to give a three-year-old?
No, it's not a great thing to give a three-year-old. The seltzer water is a combination of phosphoric and carbonic acids, and they would dissolve teeth. Okay, so you you don't really want that in the kid's mouth.
And the juices have so much sugar, right? That they kind of do the same thing.
Yes.
The orange drinks and stuff are overly sweetened. But what you can do is you get the kid real whole orange juice, and you dilute it about 3 or 4 parts water to 1 part juice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that way, there is enough sweetness that the child will like it. The orange juice actually then has vitamin C. And if you're doing the whole juice, you've got the pulp and the fiber, which is good for his gut. It provides prebiotic and postbiotics for the child's bowel flora. But your calorie load is relatively low because you've got about 3 to 4 parts water to 1 part juice.
Oh, okay. He does like cranberry juice. We drink a lot of cranberry juice, and he does like that, too.
Yeah, and that's
good.
And
I dilute that.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, dilute cranberry juice, but make it real cranberry juice, which is fairly pricey. You don't get the concentrate you mix. But they do sell that. There's one brand called Palm, P-O-M, that is just straight unsweetened. And they sell a sweetened and an unsweetened. By the unsweetened Palm cranberry juice, it's just cold-pressed cranberry juice, real stuff. And then you dilute that down with water. Okay,
great. And how about for us 70-year-olds drinking a lot of seltzer water? Is that not good?
Well, again, carbonation is tough on teeth. Okay.
How about dentures and things? Is there, like when my mom was...
You're less likely to dissolve your dentures.
Because you're not going to dissolve. So if you've got dentures, then...
Yes. If you've got dentures, you're working with porcelain, not with real tooth.
Okay.
But the tooth enamel is eroded by the acid.
Okay.
Very good. Well, thank you so much again for your wonderful information. Really appreciate you on the radio every Saturday. We listen to you all the time.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Oh, thank you, Barb.
And we're going to do our best to allow you to have access to us 24/7, hopefully within the next few months. I thought we'd be there by now. But, we are changing this radio show. I'm in the process of building out a audio-video studio in which we will be live on camera as we do the radio show. And then we're going to take that 4 hours of radio and cut it down into about 5 15- to 20-minute segments. So we will discard the commercials. We'll discard the redundant calls, because we get several calls about the same things frequently. And we'll keep just the most interesting calls. And those will then be put online 5 days a week. So you can get a different one every day, and it'll be taken from the four-hour show each week.
Nice.
But you can also see the whole four-hour show on Saturday live, and then we'll probably replay the whole thing, I don't know, some evening, like a Wednesday night or something. But I've got I've got the camera, the video people in. We've got the audio people. We've got the staging and set design people. Mm. And we've got the carpenters in. We're basically ripping out a wall and part of the corporate office and going to be building this whole set out so that we can have, you know, video as well as audio.
Mm, there you go.
And it'll be online anytime you want to watch it.
So you can see Dr. Mixon dancing or
right, yep.
Dr. Umat.
That's
yeah.
Right. We'll shake her bangles. We'll
oh,
put a
yes.
little Bollywood music in
That's
here.
That's right.
Woohoo. Medicine? What medicine? This
yes.
is medicine.
This is medicine. Exercise.
That's right.
All right.
Yay. All right. Thank you, Barb, for your call. All right. We are going to head to Stanwood. Warren has a question for the doctors. Hi, Warren.
Hello, Warren.
Good morning. Thank you. Say, what has been said about astaxanthin or astaxanthin?
Astaxanthin.
Yeah, astaxanthin is, I think, what you're looking for.
I mean, okay. Is it like the be-all, good-all, do-all, or is it...
No.
a waste of time.
No, not a waste of time either.
Yeah.
No. It is a potent anti-inflammatory. So, you know, if you're looking for an anti-inflammatory, it is one. In fact, you're aware, you know, of Relief Factor, the compound that I marketed for years and years. We're actually updating the formula. And by this fall, we will be adding astaxanthin to the Relief Factor because of its potent anti-inflammatory effect. So we'll go from 4 anti-inflammatories to 5 in that product.
Okay.
So yeah.
The original 4 and then this one, astaxanthin.
And then adding the astaxanthin,
okay.
along
okay.
with piperine, which will help to absorb the curcuminoids more efficiently.
Oh, okay.
So it'll raise the amount of curcumin in your bloodstream and add the astaxanthin to the current formulation.
Right. And then is the omegas going to increase in concentration?
No,
or
the omegas are already at the upper limit of what the FDA will let us sell.
I see. Okay.
So, yes, astaxanthin has several good effects. A, it is a very potent anti-inflammatory, as I've now said 3 or 4 times. The other point is, though, it increases muscle endurance, strength and endurance. We actually believe astaxanthin is the thing that makes salmon kind of reddish in color, real wild salmon.
Yes.
Okay. And it's that astaxanthin in the salmon's muscle that allows them to swim hundreds of miles against the current upstream to spawn.
Mm.
And so what we're finding is that adding astaxanthin at 10 to 12 milligrams a day to elderly people actually increases their ability to exercise. They can walk better. They can lift more.
Mm.
So it is a help for the frailty of aging.
Right. It was actually a study conducted here in the University of Washington.
Yes, it was.
And they did biopsies on people. So this was not an animal study. It was a human study.
Yes, it was. It was on frail elderly humans.
Yeah. So very fascinating.
So, yes, so astaxanthin is useful. You have to get, you know, at least 10 milligrams a day, so 10 to 12 milligrams a day on average. But it has multiple good uses, and that's part of why I'm throwing it into the Relief Factor.
Right, right. We do carry it separately as well.
We do. I take it every day now.
Right. So if somebody is not taking Relief Factor, they can take it separately.
They can go to our website and
buy
their astaxanthin if they want to.
Right. Yeah, and so, I have the vast majority of my patients on it.
Yeah. Does that answer your question, sir?
It does. I have another couple of easy questions. Well, maybe
sure.
not easy, but testosterone, I know you don't like injecting it, but you put it on areas of the body. And I guess one of the concerns was, how long does it hang around? And what about transference to your spouse?
Yes, that is an interesting question. Well, first of all, I'm a lot less concerned about transferring it to spouses than I used to be. And the commercial coming, darn it.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to talk to you a bit about testosterone dosing for men and women when we get back after this commercial.
All right. Yes, very important for women, too. So, Warren, you hang on the line. Ron, we're going to get to your question, too. And I'm going to give you the phone number right now so that you can call in and get in queue. It's 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, and we'll be right back.